What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Speaking of sunshine, I was just reading about solar eclipses and why, even though the sun is about 400 times larger than the moon, they appear to be the same size in our sky because each of their diameters to distance from Earth ratios are both 1 to 100. Talk about a cosmic coincidence. All right, I digress. The space news story that we are starting with today is what's being called a self-eating spacecraft, an out-of-this-world idea that could make cheaper space exploration a reality. Meridian Space Command claims its Economic Transfer Vehicle, or ETV, actually consumes its own fuel tank as it propels itself into space. It has a polymer fuel tank filled with hydrogen peroxide, the stuff you find in your medicine cabinet, and a special motor superheats the fuel, which reacts with the surrounding tank to combust, producing thrust while simultaneously eating up the tank, so to speak. The company says the cannibal craft allows for bigger payloads. We are talking deep space travel on a budget.
What happens is that when you thrust, the length of this tank gets shorter and shorter and shorter until you're left with a little stubby tank. So you can start sending small payloads to really high energy locations in the inner solar system, you know, to the moon, beyond.
Now, the concept is still in its preliminary stage, but the company hopes it will enable smaller startups to explore space for a fraction of the cost, while also reducing the amount of space debris orbiting around the Earth. News out of Connecticut now, where science meets sports and snow. They are creating snow to prepare for their upcoming Special Olympics Winter Games. Crews are turning cold air and water into shred-ready courses, and local Connecticut TV station WTIC has an awesome explainer of how it's done.
We started yesterday at about 8 o'clock. I'm running 5 guns. I got an electric air compressor. I got the water from the fire hydrant. We mix them together in the guns and make snow when it's cold like it is today.
The Connecticut Special Olympics Winter Games need snow. Piles of it.
There's a lot of effort that goes into it. Months of planning beforehand. All the pipes need to be connected. They need to be brought in. Compressors need to be brought in. And as you can see right now, 5 snow guns. They are blaring away, making large piles of snow.
Andy Collette is the company's resident snowman, making snowfall just in time for the games to begin for more than 20 years.
I actually make more ice crystals than I do snow, like fluffy snow. Fluffy snow will melt a lot faster if we get a rainstorm. So I make big piles of almost like salt or sugar crystals.
His experience has this man-made blizzard down to a science. Snow will spray from these hoses for 100 hours and requires near-perfect conditions.
We just went through a January thaw for 9 days. We don't know what February is going to bring, so I will make the piles. The piles last a lot longer than flattening out the snow. I like single-digit temperatures with very low humidity are perfect for these types of snow guns.
Eventually, these piles will get flattened and molded into the cross-country skiing and snowshoe events. Volunteers work the 1,200 feet of air and water pipes day and night in freezing temps to make it happen. It's a special kind of work for Connecticut's Special Olympians.
In the mountains of Chile's Patagonia, a conservation effort months in the making is finally taking flight. CNN's Daniela Torres shows us how science and community come together to protect the nation's iconic species.
After months of rehabilitation, 3 young Andean condors are flying free again in Patagonia. A symbol of Andean culture for millennia, the species can reach a wingspan of up to 3 meters and live more than 70 years, according to the Rewilding Chile Foundation. According to the foundation, the release took place in Patagonia National Park as part of the Mancu Project, a collaborative initiative between public and private institutions dedicated to conserving the Andean condor. Carmen, born in captivity, and the rescued males Aupinco and Farellón were rehabilitated and transferred to Patagonia last October. After 3 months of acclimatization, they were finally released into their natural habitat. The emotional moment was witnessed by authorities and local communities, who also took part in educational talks about the ecological importance of the Andean condor.
Es una experiencia super hermosa. Me encanta.
Ha sido un largo proceso en que las instituciones y las personas han puesto todo de sí Y llegar a este momento es de tremenda emoción. Vamos a comenzar un seguimiento.
Each bird carries satellite and radio transmitters, allowing researchers to monitor their adaptation to the natural environment and collect key information about their movements, threats, and use of the territory. Since 2014, the Manco Project has released 24 Andean condors, strengthening efforts to protect one of the Andes' most emblematic and essential species.
Su rol ecológico es sumamente importante como grandes carroñeros de los ecosistemas. Conservando cóndores, estamos conservando estos ecosistemas completos.
Pop quiz hotshot Taco Bell was one of the first major chains to offer what feature nationwide? Online ordering, drive-thru service, vegetarian menu, or all-day breakfast? If you said vegetarian menu, cool beans! In 2015, Taco Bell partnered with the American Vegetarian Association. According to Forbes, the chain saves millions of dollars when customers choose to swap beans for beef or chicken. Taco Bell says, quote, value is the secret sauce behind its remarkable sales growth. I apologize for this next story. If you're hungry, CNN's Jordan Valinsky visited the birthplace of Doritos Loco Taco, the Mexican pizza, the now defunct edible rice paper taco wrapper, the Live Mas Innovation Center. That's what I'm talking about. Nacho average assignment. Let's see it.
All right. We're here on the line. And what are we going to make?
We're going to make the mini taco salad.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
Americans love Taco Bell. Consumers are cutting back spending as prices climb, often ditching bowls and burgers. But even as rivals struggle, Taco Bell sales are up, growing consistently over the past 5 years. Customers keep coming back to the chain. We visited Taco Bell's test kitchen in Irvine, California to find out why.
You start off, we're going to take our delightful crispy little shell. So we're going to put a secret pocket of seasoned beans. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing we're going to make.
Taco Bell is introducing new products to its value menu this week. Churros and a mini taco salad. The chain credits its innovative, affordable menu for rising sales, jumping again by 7% late last year. That's more than double McDonald's or Burger King.
Why do you think Taco Bell is so successful in the space right now? I mean, it has several consecutive quarters, same-store growth.
Yep.
Other chains are struggling, right? I mean, what's your secret sauce?
I think one of the biggest reasons we're ahead is value. And so as we look at 2026, that's going to be a core part of how we stay ahead. We wanted to take it to another level, and that's because we listen to consumers so much. You started to stay relevant with culture, listening to where young consumers are, where our biggest fans are.
I want to ask what you're hearing from consumers in terms of, you know, how they're spending.
Snacking and, like, treating yourself, yeah, especially with Gen Z and young consumers, is huge. And, like, things like the dessert churro, the dip, play a lot of into that role.
But consumer tastes are always evolving, so Taco Bell has to keep up.
So the sensory lab, this is where we actually conduct sensory testing.
So this is where all the new food gets tested here before
a lot of the new food comes through here, yeah, okay, before actually the public starts to see it. So we'll ask things like, what's your overall liking of the product? Is this spicy? Tell me how spicy it is. Tell me if it's beefy. If we're doing a flavor like chipotle, for example, it'll say, like, is the flavor just right? Is it too much? Is it too little?
Potential products see months of brainstorming and research before heading into the sensory lab.
And then after that, we'll then go into actual restaurants, and we'll go into a market typically. So for the value menu, went into Indianapolis in July, tested with consumers.
So is each item tested in here?
Yeah, every item.
What about the churros?
It was absolutely amazing. They loved it straight off. We got that one right.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a tale of a record-breaking pup that's positively massive. Meet Minnie, a Great Dane who is definitely not so mini. She's been named the tallest living female dog by Guinness World Records.
When you submit to Guinness, they tell you that it may take up to 12 weeks.
In Minnie's case, it took much longer. Her family started the process nearly a year ago, following strict rules to make sure every measurement was positively exact. Her height, from ground to withers, or ridge between her shoulder blades, a whopping 3 feet 2 1/4 inches.
This is a measuring stick for a miniature horse.
This Great Dane Minnie has a great personality, playful, gentle, and despite her size, she is convinced she's a lap dog. I have two shout outs for us today. Thanks to everyone who's been subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel and following us at CNN 10 at Coy Wire on Instagram. Like Miss Hepworth at Baker Demonstration School in Wilmette, Illinois. Rise up. Thank you for being awesome. And Yeti or not, shout out to Mr. Pryor in Crosstown High School in Memphis, Tennessee. I see you, Yetis. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Go make it a great day. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.